All righty, Shoreline, how we doing? Good, let's go. Awesome. Well, yeah. Guys, my name is Austin Mankin, and I'm going to be continuing our series entitled Reputation. So we simply define that as what others believe is true about you. So if I were to ask your closest friends, our family, what what you are like, the response would be your reputation. So that's what others believe is true about you. And so Jermaine talked about last week how goodness, talked about this character quality of goodness. He talked about it and defined it as action and affections transformed by God's acceptance. And so we get this from our theme verse, which just is Galatians 5:22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these. So what this verse is saying is that the Holy Spirit is the one who produces these things in your life. That left to your own strength, that we are incapable of producing this kind of fruit. That it's the Holy Spirit. We can't roll up our sleeves, that we can't do enough things to try to produce this on our own merit. This is completely dependent on the Holy Spirit taking root in our lives. And so we're going to talk about this character quality of faithfulness. And we're going to define faithfulness as the feature that marks the fully devoted. It's the feature that marks the fully devoted. So before we jump in, I'm going to talk about this really stressful moment that we've all been there. It's a stressful moment where you have to prove your identity. And I'm not talking about where you prove your identity to your classmates or your friends or your family. I'm talking where you have to sit before your computer screen, you're logging on, and you have to prove your identity to that computer, and you have to convince them that you're not a robot. Like, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Where you have to literally sit before a screen and prove your humanity before this computer and say, hey, I am not a robot. But they send you through this most illogical thing as possible. Like, you have to stare at these squiggly lines and these distorted images and these crossword puzzles, and you're going blind trying to figure out how to decode this text. And then you try to get on, and you're like, yeah, there's a picture of it. Like, I looked at this the other day, and I was like, is that a smudge or a one? I have no idea. They're right. But you have to convince this computer that you're not a robot. And I'm still not sure how this is the strategy that we've chosen to fend off robots. Like, how is this the strategy that we've chosen to do this? And so, like, you guys try to go online, and you're trying to buy some concert tickets. I know you've all been there. And then it's like, hey, first, I want you to identify how many pictures have a stop sign in it. And it's like these crazy things that I'm like, man, this is taking too long. I was doing some research, and in 2007, I kid you not, Americans spent 160,000 hours trying to decode and prove the humanity to a computer. So it's illogical. It makes no sense. And so this computer, what they do is they want you, they want to figure out one thing. They want to figure out if you're human. That's their whole goal. So they ask you all these questions because they want to know one thing. They want to distinguish you between robots, basically. They want to make sure that you're identified as human. They want one thing. They want to choose one thing about you, one identifier about you, to make sure that you are, in fact, a human. And really, I think in the same way a computer is trying to find this one thing about us, God is really trying to find this one thing in his people. One thing in his people that he's really trying to find to use us, that we might take full advantage of what it looks like to walk in his kingdom. And so that characteristic is faithfulness. That a faithful person is someone who is completely committed to God. And we're defining that, and I threw that up on the screen already, but it's the feature that marks the fully devoted. So if you're taking notes, faithfulness is the feature that marks the fully devoted. And so my first point is this, is that God is searching for faithful people. God is searching for faithful people. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So this verse is just saying that God searches, he's looking, but he's also looking to strengthen the hearts of his people. So God's eyes are really moving throughout the whole earth, that there's nothing hidden from his sight, that he's looking. Like, amidst the depravity, amidst the sin and the brokenness in our world, God is looking, and he's looking for people who are faithful. He's looking for people whose hearts belong to him, and he wants to strongly support our hearts, and that he sees us. I mean, that's the most important thing that this verse is saying, is that he sees us. that any attention, any validation that we can get from anyone else pales in comparison to the creator of the universe. He sees you. That's what it's saying, that God sees us, that his eyes are directed towards the devoted, that as he's looking for people who respond to his word in faithfulness. And faithfulness is what prepares us to be used by God. That's what prepares us. That's what helps qualify us to be used by him. And that the more we rely on God's faithfulness, the more we experience his strength. The more we rely on God in faithfulness, that's the more we experience his strength, and that he will increase our strength when we're committed. He wants to do that in all of your lives. So again, we want to define this. We want to figure out what this looks like. So we're going to be talking about this and defining it. And it's really just this steadfast commitment to obedience. I heard a pastor say one time that it's really long obedience in the same direction. Like it's just regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation that you find yourself in, faithfulness is just, man, I'm head down. I'm going to obey God regardless of what's happening in my life. And so God really celebrates this. Like this is the fundamental call of us as a Christian. Like it's the essential ingredient to what we do as Christians is to be faithful. And so the problem is, man, faithfulness is rare. Like faithfulness is not practiced a lot in society because it's really hard to demonstrate this characteristic. That faithfulness can be difficult to demonstrate. It can be difficult to mark ourselves with this characteristic. And that's my second point, is that faithful people are hard to find. Faithful people are hard to find. This is directly from God's word. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man will proclaim his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. That most people don't fall under this category of faithful. That a lot of people will, you know, talk the talk, like they know, you know, they're good, they'll demonstrate, they'll boast in their own accomplishments, they'll boast in the things that they've done, they'll boast in their own goodness or their own character. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to this reality, that if they actually follow through with what they say they do, man, most people wouldn't actually be characterized as faithful. That's what the verse is saying, that God is saying that, man, it's hard to demonstrate, that not many people do it, that faithfulness is commonly communicated, but it's rarely demonstrated. It's rarely demonstrated, and it's hard. And so I really think, as I've studied, man, there's two things that really just are obstacles in a way of us maintaining faithfulness. That there's two things that stand in the way for us being faithful and what God's called us to. And so I think really the first one that I'm going to talk about is just these endless opportunities. These endless opportunities. So we live in a world, man, there is options everywhere. Everywhere. There's thousands of things vying for your guys' attention. You know, when I was in high school, I had sports, work, family, church, small group, hobbies. Like you guys have the same commitment, but then yet you're still trying to, you know, take a picture of your face and make it age 40 years. Like, what if we're all, I still don't get that app. It's crazy. But you still got to find time to do those things. And everything is just trying to get your attention. And all these things that you're trying to commit to. And we live in a world that is endless with opportunity. And so often our first relationship to suffer is really this relationship with God. That our priorities really become disordered. That our first relationship, God, that we know this is a priority, but then all these things just bombard us and we lose track and we lose priority of what God wants us to be. He wants us to be faithful. And more specifically, he wants us to be faithful to him. And so I've said, and I've heard it said, that our relationship with the Lord is more important than anything we can ever do for him. Our relationship with the Lord is more important than anything that we can ever do for him. And I know I've heard this excuse from you, but I've also said it in my own life, is that, man, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Like, who said that? Like, I've said that. Who said that? And the reality is when we ask ourselves that question, we just have disordered our priority. That God says, man, your commitment to me should be your first priority. That we spend too much time invested in things that don't really matter. And so, man, we also have just these endless commitments and this fear of just missing out. This fear of just not, you're saying yes to one thing means we have to say no to something else. Saying yes to, you know, going to this movie means I have to say no to going to someone's lake house. So we're stuck in the middle. And we're fearful of bailing out on things. And then this identity of just not committing is really just this social norm. And we just cancel plans like crazy. I'm guilty of this. I know I do this all the time. Like, I'll text my friends. I'll be like, be there in 5. And we all know that means you haven't changed your clothes yet. You haven't showered. You haven't eaten dinner. Like, it's literally 5 minutes is more like an hour. I know you guys have done that. And I do that too. But it's because we don't value our word. Like, we don't value our word because we believe, man, we have a stronger faithfulness to our own happiness than our faithfulness to others and keeping our commitment. And this, man, this is what we need to think about right now is that nothing destroys our credibility more than being unfaithful to our commitment. That we further the gospel when we are faithful to our commitments. We further the gospel when we are faithful to our commitments. So let me set the scene is, man, you're having a conversation with someone. And you're talking to them about Jesus. And you're encouraging them. You're sharing the gospel. But at the same time, you've never been faithful to your commitments. Like, how are they going to trust you then? If they can't trust you with you keeping your word, how are they going to believe you about when you talk about Jesus? That it hinders our witness. That it hinders our witness. That the more we share the gospel, man, we gotta demonstrate our own faithfulness. That people need to see God's character being demonstrated through us. That we don't just have endless opportunities. Like, we have a lot of things vying for our attention, but we also have this epidemic. It's instant gratification. This is my second point. This is the second thing that hinders, is a big obstacle to us being faithful. Like, everyone wants something handed down to them instantly. Like, we all have this why wait mentality, you know? If I want a relationship, I'm going to be in a relationship now. If I want a car, I'm going to get it now. If I want a cell phone, I need it now. And I've seen you guys do this. Like, you're talking to someone on the opposite sex, and then you have one conversation with them, and then your mind immediately goes to, like, wedding planning. Like, you're literally already there. I'm like, we have no faithfulness in the process. We can't stay faithful to what God wants us to so we can develop our character. And that's what we do. I mean, we pray for 10 seconds, and we're like, God, where is it? You know, show up. Like, we pray for 10 seconds, and we expect God to work. And, like, any commitment, any earthly relationship, it takes time. It takes commitment. If you want to have a good friend, man, you have to be committed. It takes time. And that's a relationship with God. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes faithfulness. It takes faithfulness. And so, man, when you're sitting down and you know you have to be faithful in those hard, mundane things, we can often overlook those things because we don't see those things as important. Like, you go home, you sit on your couch, you flip on Netflix, you flip on Stranger Things season 3, and you're like, man, I'm exhausted. I'm going to find my source of energy from this. Or I'm going to jump on Instagram, and I'm going to find my energy from this. And we kick our feet up, and we don't realize, man, that God's word is our source of encouragement. It's our source of refreshment. That those things, man, those things are great, and they're entertaining, but they do not last. And that is what God's calling, man. He wants us to be faithful because he is worth it. Like, everything we see in life, everything we see, that's great, that's amazing. Like, any NBA championship, any trophy ever won takes this deep, intense commitment, this deep, intense, faithful commitment. Like, the only way you get somewhere is when you have an intense, faithful commitment. Intense, faithful commitment to practice, to be determined, to create success takes a deep, faithful commitment. And the Bible has, man, a ton of examples of what commitment and faithfulness looks like. King David, man, served as an incredible example of faithfulness. That early on in his life, man, he committed to being faithful in the small things. That if we know his story, that he was a lowly shepherd before he ever got enthroned to king over Israel. Like, before God promoted him, he wanted to show himself faithful in the field. That God wanted to see him committed to where when he was with these stinky sheep. They smelled terrible. It was unglamorous. But God was saying, I'm preparing you, David. I'm preparing you. Before I let you rise into power, I want to see you prove yourself faithful. And so this is what God, God's word has to say about David. He said in verse 78, that's Psalm 78, chapter 78, if you have your Bibles, turn to that. And it's verse 70. and 71. It just says, he chose David, his servant. He took him from the sheep pens. So he took David from the tending the sheep, and he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. So he's saying, man, the pasture, this shepherd, this was the training ground for godly leadership. That this was the training ground for godly leadership. That guys, this is what God's working in your life. That in high school, man, don't resent your years in high school. If we waste those, man, God wants to develop you right now in those small things that take time, that the things that you don't really want to do, that are hard. Man, God wants to develop you, to cultivate your character in those things that are hard, because he wants to have you in a position of influence. That God wants to develop your character before he deploys you for influence. That is what we learn in the life of David. And there's this sad reality. There's this sad reality that childhood celebrities, I think you know where I'm getting at, but childhood celebrities, they rise to fame. They're thrown into this limelight. They're thrown into this popularity. They're thrown into these immense fame, and the pressure hits. Like the pressure hits and they crumble. And that's why we see a lot of celebrities who get to their older years and they've chosen a path of destruction. They've chosen a poor lifestyle. I have two pictures on the screen. Yeah, there's Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone, if we know he is, and Justin Bieber. I'm sorry, guys. Justin Bieber is in this category. I don't know what he's wearing with that flat bill, but apparently he went to prison. So I don't really know where he's at. Apparently he started a church, but there's a sad reality that childhood celebrities, man, they don't pan out. It's because that they've never had time to really cultivate their character. That they rise to fame, and when they get older, man, they crumble under the pressure because they don't know what it looks like to be faithful. And this is what David did. When he was young, he matured in the field. And when God promoted him to power, man, he was ready. He was ready because he was faithful in the little things. And so I want to ask you guys these questions. As you're thinking about, man, just think about these things. I want you guys to ask yourself these. Man, are you allowing God to develop your character in the small things? Like, are you reading your Bible even when it feels really mundane? Are you honoring your parents even when they feel unfair? Are you inviting that one student to Shoreline even when they annoy you? You know, are you doing your schoolwork with excellence or cutting corners because it's so much easier? Like, these are the things that we can demonstrate our faithfulness and our excellence to God. And this is what honors God. And we live in a success-oriented society. Like, the car you have, the money you have, the clothes you have, the people you know, that is what our culture says is success. And we're going to see, man, if you read the Bible, God has a completely different definition of success. He says that faithfulness is success, which leads me to my third point. That faithfulness is success. Then in 1 Corinthians 4:2 really illustrates this point, and it talks about this. He says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That if you are a follower of Christ, that you are a steward. And what do I mean by that is that you've been entrusted with possessions by God, that we are responsible for being faithful. God has given us, you guys, everyone in this room, unique gifts. That he's given you guys unique gifts. Like, everyone is completely and uniquely different. Like, if God would have needed another David Peniel, he would have made one. If God would have needed another Jermaine Harrison, he would have made one. But he made you because he needs you. He needs you because he gave you gifts. And that is what he wants you to steward. He's given you this opportunity to steward it. And that faithfulness is success. That's the only measure in God's eyes. And I want to say and more kind of elaborate on this definition. But notice I said faithfulness is success. That faithfulness doesn't lead to success. That faithfulness is success. Like, that needs to be implanted in your mind, because this is something I have to come back to all the time. And what I mean by that is, when we start being faithful, when we start getting a little bit more disciplined, when we start, you know, doing the right things or getting good grades or obeying our parents or you know, being a good person, we almost get into this mentality of like, okay, God, like, you owe me something. You know, like, we almost use our faithfulness in a way to manipulate God. Like, God, you, I deserve this. You're obligated to give this to me because I have done X, Y, and Z. Because I've done these things, God, you need to give me these things. And then we use this as just a tool to manipulate God. In reality, you guys got to know, man, God knows nothing to us. He owes us nothing. That in his own faithfulness, that he's given us a solution for our own sin, like our own depravity. We realize, man, that everyone sitting in this room is here because the ultimate act of faithfulness was done on our behalf. That God said, I love you. And that regardless of what you can do for me, regardless of what you've done or where you've been, that I'm going to pursue you. That I'm going to show myself faithful. That regardless, if you're faithless, man, he's going to show himself faithful. That throughout the whole scripture, it's God just proving his faithfulness to us. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he wants to do with all of you. Sitting in that chair, he wants you to know that he is faithful and he can be trusted and he is everything that we need. And there's a parable in the scripture that I think, man, really resonates with this idea and a really encouraging topic on what God sees as faithful. It's in Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 25, verse 21. And I'll set the stage a little bit as you turn there, but it's really this master who's given three of his servants like an amount of wealth. He's given all three an amount of wealth, and he desires for them to go double and be faithful with what he's entrusted them with. That all of them have been given this sum of money, and he wants them to say, hey, I want you, now that you've been entrusted with something, man, as a steward, your responsibility is then to go multiply, go be faithful with what I've been given you. And so he gives these three servants money. And two of them respond by multiplying their efforts. They see, man, this is an opportunity. I've been given a lot, man. I know that I've been given things and I need to go be faithful with them. That was an opportunity to go please this master. But one guy, out of fear, he hides. He doesn't steward his gifts. He doesn't see them as worthwhile or significant, and he hides and he just buries them. He buries them. And that's God just saying, man, our effectiveness to him is really determined by our faithfulness. And what I mean by that is that our value and our worth is already placed on us. Our value and worth is already placed on us, but our effectiveness, God is letting us, he's giving us opportunity to be faithful. And that everyone in this room, man, you've given gifts as I talked about. Giving gifts that I talked about. It's not about how smart you are, creative you are, how funny you are, or how popular you are. Like God's saying, man, the most effective thing that I see is significant is your faithfulness. Like it doesn't matter your position of prominence. You could be the lead pastor of a church, or you could be, you know, the janitor at the church. Regardless of those two options, all you're called to do is be faithful. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Your role is to be faithful with what God's given you. That the ordinary place that you find yourself in is the place where you can demonstrate your faithfulness. And so growing up, one of my favorite things to do was go outside. I was a big basketball guy. So I knew I wanted to try to play in the NBA. That was every man's dream. That was my dream. I wanted to be the guy. And so I would go out in my front driveway, and I had my goal, and I would set out. I didn't have any cones, and so I would set out things that I found in the garage. So I have a picture that I want to throw up here. Okay, so let me paint this picture for you guys. So, hey, I'm telling you, the suitcase made an incredible defender. I'm just telling you, that thing was planted. Look at that defensive stance. But I would cross over. I wanted to be the guy in my mind. I would be like, the shot clock's winding down. I'm Michael Jordan. I'm LeBron James. I'm going in slow motion. It's going down. And I'm like, I got to make the shot. I'm going to make SportsCenter top 10. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the guy. And so I would cross over that lamp. I would turn the other way, and I would, shot clock winding down, I hit the shot, game winner, crowd goes crazy. I am the guy. I get the trophy. People love me. You know the story. But with the highlight, like I wanted to be on the highlight reel, ultimately. And what the highlight reel doesn't show us, like you see, if you go see, like everyone loves these extraordinary moments. They love the buzzer beaters. What the highlight reel doesn't show us is those hours of practice in the gym, those hours of time you spent in the gym working and getting better, those mundane things that are boring and unglamorous, those things that you have to do to get to those extraordinary moments, man, you don't get to see that. And that what highlight reel is just this condensed version, this collapsed version of these repetitive moments that get to the extraordinary moment. And so you don't see, man, if you throw on SportsCenter, you're not going to see, you know, a top 10 SportsCenter of just a guy stretching. Like, that would be so dumb and boring. No one wants to see that. Our guy just doing curls or lifting weights. Like, that's so dumb. It's because we get so caught up in this desire of being noticed, and we think that God's really only going to use us if we can have a big impact in these extraordinary moments. That the only way to be influential is to just, man, have this crazy, extraordinary moment and be a part of that. But the reality is, man, God wants you to be faithful. Like, he wants you to be faithful, that you're not necessarily going to be remembered by what you do one day, this extraordinary moment. You're going to be remembered by what you do every single day. That you're not going to be remembered by the that you're the guy who, you know, got the scholarship or got the girl. Or you're going to be remembered by the girl who had these followers on Instagram, or this girl who did, you know, this girl who went to the school or whatever. You're not going to be remembered by that one thing. The reality is, you're going to be remembered by what you do every single day. Like, hey, man, that girl was kind. That she was generous to others. That every day, man, every day that she served me. That guy was bold, man. Every day he spent time loving on me. He prayed for me. He shared the gospel with me. Man, I remember that every day. You're going to be remembered by, you know, that girl or guy. They were disciplined, man. They spent time in God's word because they knew that that was a priority in their life. And they weren't going to say yes to any other thing before they spent time in God's word because that was a priority to them. Those are the things that you're going to be remembered by. Like, don't overlook that, guys. Like, those are the things that are important to God, is that we are doing the faithful things, even when they're mundane, even when they're not glamorous, even when they're not the highlight reel moment. But those things are what God sets us up to be used by him, to be strengthened by him. So, man, if you want to wake up, and I know everyone in this room, man, they want to be a godly wife or a godly husband, but you don't just wake up and become that. Like, you don't just wake up and say, man, one day I'm going to do this. I'm going to be really godly. You can't do that. It takes time. Like, these small, faithful decisions are what are setting you up to be what you want to be. Like, look down the road, picture the person that you're like, man, I want to be that man. Like, find, or that girl, or find someone in your life, your small group leader, that you want to imitate, and look at their life and say, man, how were they faithful in the small things? The things that attention doesn't usually grab or people don't always see. Those are what God sees. He sees those type of people, those small acts of obedience. And so I had a coach, and so I played basketball for a lot of years. It was really fun, but I had one coach in college who would always pull me aside, and he would pull me to his office, and he would read the Bible with me. Like, he would invest in me, and he would disciple me, and he would share truth from God's word with me, and he would show me what it looks like to live a godly life in a secular culture. And I will never forget the words that he told me. I'll never forget every day that he was investing in me. I literally forgot all the moments, man, all the great games that we played in, all the places that we went. I've honestly lost track. I don't even remember. And went to some really cool places. But I'll never forget the coach that sat me down and said, hey, Austin, like, here's what God's word says. Here's what God's word says about you. Here's how you live a godly life. He said, I'm married. He has two kids. He's like, hey, you want to be an influential dad? You want to be an impactful father? You want to be a faithful follower of Christ? Man, here are the things. Here's what it takes. And here's how you be faithful. That godliness doesn't happen overnight. That a godly life, man, if you want to be godly, it takes significant time, but it also takes a commitment to the small, mundane things that we want to overlook because they're not extraordinary. We want to be immediately thrusted into some area of impact or some nonprofit ministry or some person where we can display all these good things that we've done. And God's saying, man, before you do that, I want you to show yourself faithful. I want you to entrust yourself as faithful. And so that leads me to one of my points, which is that a life of godliness is built on small acts of faithfulness. That a life of godliness is built on small acts of faithfulness. And so, if you have your journals, this is the last thing. I want to share just three quick things that I think you can apply to your life right now. I want you guys to write these down if you have these, if you have a journal in front of you. Because I think, man, as I was thinking about my message, I think these three things are what I want you guys to take away as you go live out this principle in your life. And so number one, be faithful in the secret things. So what do I mean by that? Is that Todd Wagner has a quote that I think is really awesome, but it says, who you are alone is alone who you are. And so what he's saying by that is the things that you do in private are the reflection of who you are in public. Like you can't be selective with your faithfulness. That your character is the same when behind scenes, when you're out in practice and you're working on the field, or it's the same in front of people when you're on the main stage and you're trying to perform. That your character is the same. It should be the same. And I love what David says in Psalm 101, 2. I'm going to throw it on the screen. He says, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. Like his obedience was consistent. In his own home, he was faithful. When you are in your own home and you're on the couch and you're by yourself and you know you're by yourself and you're sitting there and you have your feet propped up and you're watching a movie or you're watching a TV show and that image comes on the screen where you know it's less than God's best. The way you practice obedience, the way you practice faithfulness in that moment is who you are. That's your character right there. And that's what God wants you to demonstrate. Are you going to, you know, turn it off or are you going to stare and watch it and let your mind be corrupted by those images? The next one is be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in the small things. That our willingness to do the small, unnecessary tasks that most certainly really will open up doors for more greater opportunities to be used by God. That our commitment to those small things, reading our Bible, you know, even doing the dishes, even serving our parents, even loving our friends, those small things, man, those things make a difference. And those are creating opportunities. Those are determining the future husbands, the future wives, the future leaders that you guys are going to be. That your commitment to those small things, those faithful acts, are showing, man, what you're going to be in the future. And the last one would be faithful in the spiritual things. And I want you guys, man, be faithful in the spiritual thing. I want you guys to understand this, that we can do nothing truly significant apart from Jesus. That apart from Jesus, we can't do anything of lasting value. We can't do anything worthwhile. That the Bible is clear in John 15 that apart from me, there's nothing. There's nothing. That all life is found in Jesus in obedience to his command. And so I want you guys, man, to be faithful and understand this principle that you are training now for eternity. You're training out for eternity. That time with God is one of the most effective things you can do. My biggest regret, and when I was y'all's age, my biggest regret is that I didn't take this seriously, that I didn't devote my time to God's word and spending time in it. Because if I did, man, my discipline would only grow and it would be easier for me now. It'd be easier for me now. And so take that advice and let that be inform you. As you guys spend time in God's word, as you guys minister to other people, be disciplined, be faithful. That faithfulness is a feature that marks the fully devoted. Faithfulness is the feature that marks the fully devoted. All right, I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to make a few announcements. Lord, thank you that you're a God who is faithful, that you've demonstrated your faithfulness to us by sending your son, and that regardless of what we could do for you, regardless of the things that we've done, man, you have shown yourself faithful, and you've proven that commitment, and you died on a cross on our behalf that we may have life with you. You provided a remedy for our pain, a remedy for our sin, and a solution to our pain. And I pray that your faithfulness would stir us towards greater acts of faithfulness in our own life and that we would be faithful to carry out those mundane things that don't honestly get the recognition that we want, but that we would utilize those things for more influence like King David did and that we'd see those things as an opportunity to bless you and that we would maintain our discipline so we could grow in more intimacy with you. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.